BizScoops is proudly produced by NewsScoop.
Good day to you and welcome to BizScoops for business news, local and international. My name is Isabel Potgieter. On the show today, the Reserve Bank will decide on the repo rate this week and we discuss possible influences on their decision and outcomes. And the South African Revenue Service has dismissed claims that its systems were breached by hackers. The economist Waldo Kriel talks about the impact of the Middle East conflict on things other than just the oil price on the global arena. In international business news, OpenAI Sam Altman says artificial intelligence is unlikely to trigger the large-scale job losses he once feared. In investment news, good news if you bought Stefanuti stocks in 2020, and we continue our discussion with the operations manager of Just Money, Pieter Wasserval. Today he shares advice on why you should avoid taking on new debt. The South African Reserve Bank adopted a 3% inflation midpoint target in November last year. With April Consumer Price Index a full percentage point above that target, the bank's Monetary Policy Committee faces a credibility test tomorrow with its decision on the repo rate. Chris Hunting of the Centre for Risk Analysis gives us more insight.
With April consumer price inflation a full percentage point above that target, i.e. 4%, the fuel levy relief falling away in stages through July, and second round effects in food and logistics yet to feed through, the Monetary Policy Committee of the Reserve Bank faces a clear choice at its meeting. The CRA expects a 25 basis point hike with explicit upside risk language and a signal that further tightening remains possible for July. Households and businesses carrying variable rate debt should treat two hikes in 2026 as the base case.
We also asked Chris Hunting how a global bond sell-off increases South Africa's borrowing costs and pressures the Reserve Bank's interest rate outlook. What does this mean for South African households?
Many governments are having to pay higher interest on their debt. The United States 30-year Treasury yield breached 5% last week for the first time since 2007. Japan's 30-year government bond yield hit a record, and United Kingdom gilt yields are at multi-year highs. Global public debt got to 94% of GDP in 2025, according to the IMF's April fiscal monitor, and is projected to reach 100% by 2029, a level last seen in the aftermath of the Second World War. South Africa is exposed. The South African government 10-year government bond yield climbed above 8.86% in mid-May, its highest since early April, as risk appetite deteriorated on fresh Middle East frictions and shipping disruptions. Higher borrowing costs push more tax revenue into debt service and raise the hurdle for capital investment. A 2 million rand home loan over 20 years already costs about 19,700 rand a month. Any upward move in the policy rate tightens that further.
And the South African Revenue Service has dismissed claims on social media that its systems were breached by hackers. SARS says an investigation found no evidence that its digital platforms had been compromised and reassured taxpayers that its systems remained secure. The claim surfaced after a group calling itself NullSec Nigeria alleged it had accessed data linked to SARS and the South African Information Technology Agency. CETA has also denied any breach. SARS has urged the public to remain alert to phishing scams. We now have the economist Professor Waldo Kriel on the line with us. Professor Kriel, we have already discussed the impact of the Middle East conflict on oil prices, but the effects are also being felt in several other sectors of the economy. Can you share some examples of where this impact is becoming visible?
I've already spoken a lot about the impact of the war between the US, Israel and Iran on the South African economy. But there are also other interesting economic stories out there. The closure of the Strait of Hormuz doesn't only have an impact on oil, but also on natural gas, or rather LPG, liquefied petroleum gas. In India, shortages in LPG have led to rising fuel prices. In California, Indian refineries now have to produce more gas, and therefore they produce less alkylate, which is blended into high-octane, clean-burning petrol in California. So in a roundabout way, prices rise. The sales of dates are skyrocketing at the moment. Health influences have made dates fashionable as a naturally sweet and high-in-fiber snack. Health-conscious consumers are now replacing their protein bars and processed snacks with dates. And there are also consumers who support dates from Palestine in solidarity with the people of Gaza and the West Bank. In economics, we say the demand curve moves to the left. And if you think we have problems, spare a thought for consumers and businesses in Turkey. Their central bank recently raised their inflation target from 16% to 24%, and the policy interest rate stands at 37%.
Thank you. That was Professor Waldo Kriegel, an economics professor at the Northwest University's Business School. If you'd like to hear more from Professor Kriegel, you can listen to his daily podcast called The Economic Minute on Spotify and Anchor FM. The chief executive of OpenAI, Sam Altman, says artificial intelligence is unlikely to trigger the large-scale job losses he once feared. Speaking at a banking conference in Sydney in Australia, Altman admitted he was wrong about the speed at which AI would replace entry-level white-collar jobs after the launch of ChatGPT in 2022. He says human interaction remains an important part of many professions and cannot easily be replaced by technology. Altman added that AI's long-term impact on employment may differ significantly from earlier predictions. The construction group Stefanuti Stocks has delivered one of the JSE's strongest recoveries after its share price surged from 14 cents in May 2020 to more than 7 rand this month. This means that a hypothetical 1,000 rand investment at the company's low point would now be worth about 50,800 rand. BusinessDeck reports the turnaround follows the settlement of its long-running Kusile Power Station dispute with Eskom, debt reduction and improved financial results. However, analysts caution that part of the earnings recovery was driven by once-off settlement income. Before we say goodbye, we are joined by the operations manager of Just Money, Peter Wasserfall. Last week, we discussed how we can save on fuel and general household expenses. Today, we touch on the subject of taking on new debt and also stockpiles. Peter, when should someone avoid taking on new debt?
So we generally advise to avoid taking on new high interest debt. You should focus on keeping up with your payments and reducing existing credit balances, possibly even to renegotiate or consolidate your debt.
Are stockpiles still a smart way to pool resources?
So stockpiles offer access to pooled funds and can support members facing unexpected expenses. It is, contrary to popular belief, a growing industry. It is still very, very popular, especially in the informal market. And yes, I would say it is still a sustainable way of saving money.
And that was the operations manager of Just Money, Peter Wasserfall. Thanks for joining us today. We'll be back next week with more business news, local and international, on Biz Scoops. My name is Isabel Potgieter. Goodbye.
And this was another edition of BizScoops, proudly produced by NewsScoop.